glory to God. We give you glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can take your seats. Praise the Lord. This is a prayer conference. Amen. And we are being equipped to be a powerful house of prayer. Amen. I said we're being equipped to be a powerful force, a powerful house of prayer. Because isn't that what Jesus said about his house? My house. My house will be called a house of prayer. I want to live in his house. I want to be in his house. My house. My house will be called a house of prayer. Glory to God. Well, what does that look like to you? What does that feel like to you? To some people, prayer is one thing. To some people, you know, I think God's been equipping us and helping us to find our place, not just in a prayer closet and with a prayer agenda, but to find our communication, once again, a free communication with him, so that we really and truly can pray without ceasing. Amen? That we don't have to get ready to pray. Amen? But because he's in us, and because we're aware of his presence always, at any moment, at any time, that communication is back and forth. Amen? It's like any relationship you have with anybody. It's all about communication. And any relationship can get better or it can be worse. It can be an effective relationship or it can be a lazy relationship. Amen. But the better you are at communicating, the better the relationship is. And so if we want to be, where we can finish one another's sentences with the Lord, that's what I want to be. I want to be where he starts and I know exactly where he's going. Amen? And so I believe we're becoming more and more proficient. Amen? And more skilled. I said this the other day that, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're good at it. But we can be. We can be. And you usually get good at the things that you love, the things that you're passionate about. If you enjoy cooking, you'll get good at it. If you enjoy a hobby, a sport, something like that, you'll find yourself thinking about it. You'll find yourself looking at other places to get other sources to get more information about it. You consume yourself with those things that you're passionate about. And so we need to continue to fuel that in our heart about prayer. And about communion and about communication with him. Praise God. Because only good can come out of it. Only good can come out of it. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to mention that we do have some of our materials out there, ours and the Hockadays and the Sosbys and Robin McCollum. She's got her material out there as well. Please make yourself available to those. We've got USB flash drives. There's CDs. There's books. We also, on our website now, durantministries.org, we finally have begun to compile some of the videos that have basically been all over YouTube at the different churches that we've been at. We've been compiling some things on our website so you can see some more recent services and things like that that'll bless you. So durantministries.org and hit the watch button and you can enjoy some of those as well. Free. Praise the Lord. Free of charge. And then you'll be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to start off tonight and then at some point we're all going to pray together. We're going to release our faith and we're going to release glory to God, the things, you know, when the Spirit of God on the inside of us, was it John Wesley that said, it seems like God can't do anything on this earth unless somebody asks him. You know, so many times, you know, religion will tell you God doesn't need you, you just need God. But he needs us. We're his body. He can't do anything without his body. We are the body of Christ. We need to be so aware of our union with him, amen, that if he needs us at any moment, we can give voice to what he needs us to give voice to. And there are some things that God needs us to give voice to in these last days. Before the healing revival, after World War II, before the healing revival came, Brother Hagin gives this testimony how he was just led by the Holy Ghost to pray. And he said he just kept finding himself praying about the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, the power gifts, gifts of healings, working of miracles, the gift of faith, special faith. He said he was finding himself praying about these things. And the Lord finally told him, after he would begin to pray this, he said the Lord finally told him, at the close of World War II, there will come to this nation a revival of healing. And of course, we know that it did. But before, you know, the Bible tells us, God says, before I do a thing, I tell you about it. Before I do a thing, I tell you about it. And, you know, the such significance of World War II that the Lord said at the close of World War II, this is what's going to happen. And I really believe in my own heart that this whole COVID issue, it's not an American thing, it's a global thing, which tells you right there that it's not, man-made in the sense of the effect of it. The effect of it is spiritual. The origin is spiritual. The effect is spiritual. The virus has been exploited, amen, by the enemy for his purposes. And it's because it's been so global and the world has its attention on this, I don't know if it's because the reason that God will use this attention grabber, if you will, that everybody's attention is on something, at least everybody's attention is on something. Sickness has never had a louder voice. And I have zero respect for sickness. I have zero absolutely no respect for sickness and disease. I won't be quiet around it. Amen. Well, they've got COVID. People are dying. You better be respectful. I don't respect sickness. The sickness has had such a loud voice. And it's shouting. I mean, there are more commercials about pharmaceuticals now than anything else. So that you'll be so dulled to the fact that sickness is in the earth. You'll be so dull that, they nickname sicknesses now because it's so common. Everything's got an acronym. You know, it's this, these letters. And so that you just start going, oh, that's just normal. That everybody's got that. It's just so common. It's so common. And everybody now, you just get dull of hearing. And you just accept all this, you know. And how rare are some of these things, but there's commercials about them. So that you'll just accept it. Just, you know, it's just normal now. Everybody gets sick. You know, you're getting old. If I was Leanne, I'd say, Jim's getting old. But I'm not Leanne, and I'm older than Jim, so ha-ha. Just a few months. But anyway, I don't even like the commercial for the walk-in tub. There's a commercial for the walk-in tub that says, whether you like it or not, when you turn 60, you just can't do what you used to do. Oh, really? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Amen. So at least with this whole virus thing, everybody's attention is on something. So let's give them something else to put their attention on. It's been proven that they can have their attention on something. Let's get our attention on something else. I think when the Lord said at the close of World War II that there would come a healing revival, it's because everybody's attention was on that. And they were easily then moved as a group. So at the close of this coronavirus, people say, well, it's going to be around forever now. Not like it is now. Not like it is now. And God will move people. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says the glory of the Lord will be on the earth like the waters cover the sea. If we can see that this pandemic has covered the world, how much more? How much more the glory of God? If people's eyes can get on a sickness, people's eyes can get on an answer. If people's eyes can be on the enemy's effects, how much more the glory of God? Come on. The yoke is never stronger than the anointing. Isaiah 10:27 says that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of. That means in the face of the anointing is what it literally means. In the face of. Just because it's in the face of the anointing, it's got to be destroyed. We often say that the yoke is destroyed by the anointing, and that's also true. But the scripture says, because of the anointing, just because. So I believe the Holy Spirit is stirring the body to pray. Because it won't happen if we don't pray. It won't happen on time if we don't pray. And so he's stirring us to pray. Glory to God. Amen. Ha ha ha. Glory to God. But we've got to have some purpose. And we've got to have some unity in prayer. And in one sense, we do some things in unity on purpose. In another sense, when we pray in the Spirit, God will see to it that we're praying in unity. Because if he's the one giving the unction, he's making us pray in the right direction. Amen. So if we're truly in the Spirit when we pray, we will be in unity. But at the same time, there are some things we can focus our attention on so that we will pray in the direction of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Many years ago, received a phone call in our office, and it was from the Rhema office, and they were calling because I kept a small book of some of the prophecies and words from Brother Hagin over the years, and it's nowhere near the collection that these guys have, but I had some, and the office at Rhema had called because they were looking for a particular word that Brother Hagin had ministered. And in their vast collection, they couldn't put their finger on it. And I guess they thought, well, maybe Annie's knows where hers is, you know, whatever. So they were asking me for a particular thing. And I said, I believe I have it. And again, this was years ago. They said, well, if you find it, would you fax it to us? So we did. And so I looked through my little book and I found the phrase they were kind of looking for. So I said, I believe I got what they're looking for. So we're getting ready to send it to the office there at Rhema. And at the top of the page printed out, and in this printout was two or three pages long of a word that Brother Hagin gave. And at the top of the page, or at the beginning of what he said, now I'm not speaking by prophecy, I'm speaking by the word of knowledge. And then it's three pages long. He said, and it was very distinctive. He says, I'm not speaking by prophecy. I'm speaking by the word of knowledge. And then it's three pages of unction from the Holy Ghost. And so we're about to send this off to the Rhema office. And My secretary at the time, she said, now what are we, we're sending a prophecy? I said, well, actually, no, we're sending a word of knowledge. And then I kind of joked with her and I said, well, who cares what it's called as long as it's from God? And we had a little chuckle, you know, we laughed, ha ha, and sent it along. Well, the next day or two, Kevin and I were on our way to a meeting and we were driving in the car and I was relating to him this thing that happened in the office. And I said, yeah, we sent this thing and it really wasn't even a prophecy, it was a word of knowledge. And I said, yeah, well, who cares what it's called as long as it's from God, ha ha ha, again. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of me spoke on the inside of me and he said, and that's why you're not doing it. I'm like, excuse me? He says, because you don't care what it is. You're just putting it all in one thing, making no distinction, you know. He goes, and that's why you're not doing it. And then you know how he can speak to you so quickly, things just, you know, images and things and instances and times that you've had in him, and he'll start explaining things to you, just showing you things and events. And at that particular time in our ministry, Kevin was used a lot with tongues and interpretation just on his own. He'd give the tongue and the interpretation often. And then I would stand before some people sometimes, and I'd be like, where is it? You know? But at the same time, I would know things or see things, and I was waiting for words to come on it. And the Holy Spirit, in that amount of time, he was showing me, he said, when you said, who cares what it is as long as it's from God, he said, that's why you're not doing it. He said, you are waiting for a vocal gift when what I had on you was a revelation gift. 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Oftentimes, we kind of categorize them, vocal gifts, revelation gifts, power gifts, and to give them some distinction, you know. And of course, you know, when we start to divide things, and we can't get too technical with God anyway. Amen? Because you're never going to put them in the box. When we talk about manifestations of the Holy Ghost and manifestations of the Spirit of God, they're manifestations of Him. They're not gifts and presents He gives you. They're manifestations of Him, how He moves. Amen? It's always the person of the Holy Spirit. And so even in that case, I heard one minister say this. I'll say this on a side note. I heard another minister say this one time. He said, how many primary colors are there? 3. How many colors can God make with 3 primary colors? Every spectrum. How many reds are there? How many blues are there? How many greens are there? Just look at the fall colors right now. Out of 3 primary colors, look what God makes. And he said, we have 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit listed to help us get a little bit of understanding. But what can God do with those 9 manifestations? Often in combination, one with another. Word of knowledge sometimes with a gift of healing or a power gift, you know, the gift of faith with something else. I mean, the combinations are endless. And then through different people, it just is so vast the way that God can move. And so for anybody to go, who cares what it's called, is to so downplay the specificity, I had to think about that for a second, of God and the uniqueness of God and the details of God and how He can just so formulate things so perfectly for individuals, for a church, for a community, for a country, a nation, the world. And he said, so that's why you're not doing it. You don't care. And he said, I've been trying to get you to yield to the revelation gift, and you're waiting for a vocal gift. And then so I had to realize when I would stand before people, I would know something or see something, and then have to put my own words on it, so to speak. Shortly after that, we were ministered to by another ministry couple, and they said, from this time on, and they talked about us working together with tongues and interpretation. And pointed to Kevin, said, you'll have the tongue. And they pointed to me, you'll have the interpretation. And it's kind of like you were saying the other day, couldn't I have gotten the tongue part? So they said, from this time on, and we thought, well, that probably, you know, who knows when that'll happen. It was the very next meeting. There it was. Kevin gave the tongue, and it was like, here we go. Gave the interpretation. Praise God. But being comfortable being uncomfortable. Knowing that he's on the other side of it. One thing that was such a blessing to me and such a help to me even in that area was the fact that he had already been used so much with tongues and interpretation himself. I knew he wouldn't give a tongue if there wasn't an interpretation available. I trusted already that he's always flown with the Holy Ghost in that area, that he would have the tongue, there would be an interpretation. Praise God. Amen. And that's so when the Lord said, you know, that's why you're not doing it, he brought me also back to the fact that, you know, when we worked with Brother Hagin's ministry, of course, we're all relating to these experiences because this is where we all came from. And we all began, as Pastor Ed said, we all began just serving. And we all began just, so we learned so much along the way by serving Brother Hagin's ministry. And so the times that we were working with him, I was, you know, I started out singing. And then, you know, I gave my testimony the other morning how he told me to give an altar call one time. And the first time I went, I don't talk, I sing. But then I had to go along with, you know, and next time I'm there, you know, I'm the next time girl. But I remember also the first time that Brother Hagin used me to lay hands on the sick. And he would, at different times, you know, because he ministered to thousands of people often. And he sometimes would get tired. He'd say, the anointing settled down in my legs. I can't stand up anymore. And so he'd say, God wants to demonstrate. He doesn't just use me. He uses other people. So he would call one of the team members and put his hands on our hands. And that healing anointing would be transmitted temporarily at that point for that service. I remember doing it right here in this building, all the way around the circle, around and around and around and around and around. But I remember the first time he did, and I had always wondered what that would feel like, if I would feel anything, you know, because I'd seen it with other people in the group. And he put his hands on my hands, and this heat went into my hands. And he said, "Do you feel that?" And I went, "Oh." He said, "Now you go lay hands on the sick." Well, I had seen his example, you know. He always said he could tell when it came out of his hands and went into people, and oftentimes he'd say, "That's it, there it is." You know, he said, I can tell when it leaves my hands and goes into you. And he'd say, that's it, there it is. So I laid my hands on the first person, and something went out of my hands and into them. I could feel it. And I went, that's it, there it is, like a pro. Just kept on going, the most humbling and the most thrilling feeling all at the same time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I was accustomed then, after a while, he used me a lot to lay hands on the sick. And after a while, every time he would tell his testimony, after a while, you know, he didn't have to lay hands on my hands anymore. He'd just to start telling his healing test or his testimony of when the Lord appeared to him, and my hands would start to burn. And then he would just look at me and go, is that anointing on you? I'd say, yes. He goes, go lay hands on these people. And so it stuck, praise the Lord. And then later on, God gave us our own. Hallelujah. But now the thing was, I was accustomed to the laying on of hands. And I was just fine being the Lord's hands. But then he wanted me to talk. I wasn't ready to talk. I'm fine with this part. This is good. It's all you, Lord. It's all you. I know I'm not even in here anywhere. But now I got to use my voice, my what? I'm happy to sing for you. Now I want you to say something. Oh, it's really uncomfortable. I need you to be my mouth. He said, you're happy to be my hands. You don't want to be my mouth. See, we all kind of have our favorites, ways God moves. But he's so vast and so amazing that we've got to open our heart and our mind to different ways that he wants to move and be willing to be used in those areas. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John's Gospel, the 12th chapter and the 49th verse, he said, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus said, the Father gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. I don't speak on my own authority. Do you imagine the discipline Jesus had walking on this earth? He's not ever talking off the top of his head. He's not ever just reacting emotionally to a situation, because he had a command from God, what to say and what to speak. And he did it as a man. I said, he did it as a man. He could hold his tongue. Didn't James say anybody who could tame the tongue would be a perfect man? Well, we know one. Amen? But that also means it's available. No man can tame the tongue. But the Holy Ghost on the inside, cooperating with him and yielding to him, amen, you can then be his mouth on the earth. And he needs us to be his mouth on the earth in prayer and in witnessing and communicating with people. We need to be his mouth, amen? We need to yield to that command when to speak, what to speak, and what to say. Jesus demonstrated that it could be done. Amen. In Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now, you know that word anoint. In its simplest form, just means what? To rub on, to paint on, or to smear. I'm becoming more and more in love with the word smear. Where the anointing is concerned. I like the visual effect of smear. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has smeared me with himself. Because the anointing, remember, the anointing is not something God sends on his behalf. Ooh, that service was anointed. What does that mean? God was on it. God smeared himself on it. It's one substance on another. That's what anoint means, to put one substance on another, like butter on bread. Now that is anointed, right? Kevin and I just say that bread is just a vehicle for butter. But the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has put himself on me. He has painted himself on me, rubbed himself on me, smeared me with himself. No wonder people wanted to touch Jesus. Because he said, God is on me. He's on me. If he's on me, if he's on Jesus, then if I touch him, I could get some of that. Do you know you're anointed? Are you aware? The Spirit of the Lord is on me, he said, because he has anointed me. And then the anointing has a job description: to preach. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Bible says when he said this in this particular instance, he says, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And he went on to say some things about it. Then verse 28 says, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Right after Jesus announces, the Holy Ghost is on me. We don't like that. We don't like what you're claiming. Guess what? Doesn't always get a positive response. Amen. And in the world today, we need to start proclaiming some things. It's not going to get a positive response at first. Amen. But the next town he went to, they were excited about it. The next town he went to, they said they were astonished at his doctrine because he spoke as one with authority. Glory to God. He spoke as one with authority. They recognized that his words came with power. Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come with my own words. I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came and my speech and my preaching were a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. But I believe God wants us to begin to pray about, and what God wants us to get our attention on is that words are coming with power. Words will be spoken with power and with authority. Man's opinion has had its heyday. Man's opinion is so swirling around the atmosphere in such a way, social media, everything, everybody's opinion is so loud. Well, I've got a right to what I believe. Of course you do. Doesn't make it right. You might have a right, but you might be wrong. Because there is a standard in the Word of God. The Word of God, Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we read it the other morning. The fourth chapter said in the Amplified, the Word that God speaks, the Word that God speaks is full of power, energizing, effective, and operative, glory to God. Even through the dividing of soul and spirit, the thoughts and intents of the heart. How can what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, how can it be wrong if it feels so right? That I can't just give you an opinion on that. I'm not allowed to, for my opinion is not allowed on this matter. Because only the Spirit of truth, the sword of the Spirit, can make that distinction, because Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. So there is truth. And Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. But when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you. We need guidance. We need guidance. We shouldn't trust to be on our own, to just make our own way. We need guidance. And Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, not push you. Not condescending, but he'll guide you into truth. What is truth? His truth. He is truth. And so with all of the opinions of man swirling around, people pretty soon, I think, are going to just be up to here with it. People, I see it. People are beginning to choke. Because you can only have so much man. And the Bible says we are to take captive every thought and make it obedient. Everything that exalts itself against and above the knowledge of God. And there are things that are trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. But the word that God speaks, the word that God speaks. He wants to speak. I said he wants to speak. He doesn't want us just to read. He doesn't want us to just give opinions and ideas of things. He wants to speak to the body. He wants to speak to people. But he has to do it through what? Preachers. How will they hear? Romans said, how will they hear without a preacher? That doesn't just mean people behind a pulpit. That's right. People, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach the gospel. The Spirit of God is on you to preach the gospel. How will they hear without a preacher? But we've got to preach with power. We've got to have the power of God to preach. We've got to have the power of God to preach. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Ha ha. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We mentioned, of course, the manifestations of the Spirit of God in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he said, now concerning spiritual things, not just spiritual gifts, but things pertaining to the Spirit, because he's so vast, things pertaining to the Spirit, I don't want you ignorant. Aren't you glad he doesn't want us ignorant? He wants us to know something. Hallelujah. So in the 14th chapter, of course, the 13th chapter, we know he says, even if I have all of this and have not love, I've got nothing. So then in the 14th chapter, he begins to say, follow love and desire this. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire manifestations of him. Desire manifestations of him. Now again, we've got to be open to what that looks like. Because green isn't always the same green. Blue isn't always the same blue. Manifestations of the Spirit of God, we've got to remain open to him, to manifest in the way he chooses, and to recognize his manifestation. When Paul said, my speech and my preaching were a demonstration of the Spirit, do you recognize when the speech and the preaching is a demonstration of the Holy Ghost? Do Do you recognize when it's a demonstration of the Holy Ghost as opposed to maybe somebody's prepared homily? I'm not saying that the preparation isn't also anointed by the Holy Ghost. Don't misunderstand me. But do you feel, sense, recognize the manifestation of the Spirit on it? That's what we've got to be aware of. I had a conversation with another minister who was also close to Brother Hagin, and we were having a conversation, and he was uncomfortable, to be honest. He was a little uncomfortable with some of the moves of God that we so enjoy. And he said he went to Brother Hagin, and he said, "Do you mean to tell me I got to throw out everything I've been doing and do this?" And Brother Hagin said, "No, that's not what I'm saying at all." He said, "But when you're teaching, always be aware that there may be a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a revelation or something else coming out of your mouth." And he said, "You know, I had to admit I hadn't been aware of that. I hadn't made room for that." Do we recognize when the Spirit is manifesting? Because every gift, ministry office, I'll start there, every ministry office, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are all supernatural gifts in the way that we would consider supernatural. In other words, you don't call yourself to the ministry. You're not just a good teacher, like a school teacher, and then decide to pastor a church without a divine call and a divine origin and a divine empowerment. It's not effective. Amen? It doesn't change people or transform people. It's got to be divinely originated. And all of these ministry gifts are meant to be, right? When Jesus was raised up from the dead, the Bible says he gave gifts to men. He did. He calls and he empowers and he equips. And so as ministers, our first responsibility is not just to study to show ourselves approved. Our first responsibility is to connect in the preparation, in the delivery, in every aspect. We often joke amongst ourselves, you know. Leanne always says, "You know, I'm an inspirational preacher." And I want to go, "What am I, chop liver?" Just because mine comes out like teaching doesn't mean I made it up. I ain't that good. If not for him, I'm just nothing. People think, "Well, you must be so organized and so..." No, this is supernatural. It's all him. You don't want to look at my office and my desk. It's completely different. It's supernatural. That's the first thing. The connection with him. The reliance on him. Amen? But then all of us need to be aware of that, you see, in order to receive it. In one place, Jesus said the same message, "The Spirit of the Lord's on me," and they got mad. In another place, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord's on me," and they went, "Wow. What's the difference?" He's no different. But do we recognize that aspect, the empowerment of the Holy Ghost on the Word? Well, that's one of the things I think we need to pray about. That the people will be aware, yes, but that God's ministers, he calls them a flame of fire. Would you help us? Would you help us, body of Christ, to take our place? So that the word that God speaks will be full of power and affect our nation and affect our world in a way, in another level than we've been in some time. Because it's time for some things in the realm of the Spirit. Yes, it should always have been this way, but at the same time, he wants to elevate some things. Because now everybody's attention is on something, and now he can be, make himself known because people are already looking. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And we're going to turn this over to somebody else here in a second. We'll pray. Whoever's got the next step. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Prophesy. I didn't say everybody's a prophet. Prophecy is inspired utterance. Inspired utterance. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. This command I have from my Father, what to say and what to speak. Come on, let's get our attention and get our eyes and our focus and our connection starting with him and only say what he says so that the word will be full of power. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now, both of these things, tongues and prophecy, originate in the same place. In the Spirit and by the Spirit. So this edification, exhortation, and comfort isn't just a happy word to make you feel good. It is an empowering word. Because no word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. It contains within it the DNA in it, the seed. The word is the seed. And every seed produces after its kind. So the word that God speaks has the DNA, the seed, to produce the thing that he meant it to produce. But it's got to be spoken with power. And it's got to be, amen, originate with God. So we want to pray that prophecy, amen, divine utterance from God would rise to its place. Divine utterance, inspired utterance from God that carries his power with it, will rise to its place. During the healing revival, people who didn't even believe some of the same things were operating in healing. Why not all of a sudden? I mean, like during the charismatic move, right? When denominational churches and denominational peoples were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when my family and I, that's when we all got born again in the charismatic move. The first person I ever heard speak in other tongues was a Catholic nun. I thought it was a Catholic thing. The Spirit of God on all flesh. All flesh. Do we believe it or don't we? In the last days, he said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Why wouldn't all of a sudden these people that we have kind of relegated in our own minds in a religious way, in a religious setting, in a church, why not all of a sudden the Holy Ghost get a hold of their tongue? And all of a sudden they begin to speak with authority and they don't even know what's happening. Could we make that kind of power available? I said, could we make that kind of power available? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Their function is different, but their origin is the same. It has to come from the Holy Ghost on the inside. Amplified says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. So if it's the same way with prayer, then my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prophesies. By our union with him and our yieldedness to him, we can begin to speak on the level we are meant to speak as believers and as ministers. You ought to expect to speak from a different level. Brother Hagin said when he would pray in the Holy Ghost, he kind of coined this phrase, I'm going to get my tongue hooked up to my spirit. Sometimes he'd be ministering and then try to he'd go and explain something, and then he went, let me get back to what the Holy Ghost was saying, and he'd pray in tongues for just a moment. He said, let me get my tongue hooked up to my spirit. Good exercise. Good exercise. You get your tongue hooked up to your spirit, you're more aware of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, connecting in union, because we are one spirit with him. We are one spirit. So why would we just operate out of the natural all the time and then go pray? When we could, at a moment's notice, just hook our tongue up to our spirit. Even nobody can hear you. Just aware, aware, aware. Glory to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, he said, we are co-laborers with God. Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? He said, no, God is the one who gives the increase. We're co-laborers with God. We are all co-laborers with God. With God, in union with God. Turn to one last scripture with me, and I'm going to turn this over to whoever's ready with a microphone. Philippians, the second chapter, because I know we're going to pray, but there may be something else we need to say. Philippians chapter 2. I want to read this out of the Amplified. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. In the 12th verse, he had said, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, he said, not in your own strength. Everybody say, glory to God. He said, work out your own salvation. Then he said, not in your own strength. We're never separated from him. Never separated from his empowerment. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Let me say it again, not in your own strength. Recognize the empowerment. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire. He will even put the desire in you to do it. You say, well, I don't have that desire. Some people are just given to it. He'll put it in you if you'll open your heart to him. He needs you. He needs you. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they're sent? We've all got a responsibility. We've all got a responsibility and an empowerment from the Holy Ghost to do it. come on, we've got the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I believe in the timing of the Holy Spirit, that the time that we're in, and, you know, I see so many different things that, you know, God will, in his divine order, and he's such a master worker and builder, amen, that you can begin to see the building that he's building. You can begin to see the pieces coming together. And if everyone does their part, what a tremendous building it will be. Hebrews says they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He's our builder, he's our maker. And he's given each of us the opportunity to build. Amen? And we can do it with our words. And we can do it with our prayer. And we can empower and add and create and energize and create tremendous power to be available to the body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say it with me. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a gift from God. A multi-purpose tool to benefit every area of my life. Hallelujah. It is just that. It's a multi-purpose tool. What do you mean? There's many different functions of the Holy Ghost. And praying in the Spirit, this wonderful language where we don't, most of the time, know exactly what we're saying. Where the words that come out of our mouth and the way that they come out, people would see that there's significance to them, but there's not definition to them. Where while we're praying these words, our mind doesn't have to be taxed. It doesn't have to work hard. It doesn't have to figure out the mathematical problem, your geometry and your trigonometry and your algebra and trying to remember what it was that you had studied before. This is something where your mind is at ease and yet your spirit is communing with God, praying things out with great significance. A multi-purpose tool that can be used from many, many different areas of your life, covering areas where you don't even know and don't even have complete knowledge of exactly what you've touched on. Praying out your future, praying things about your past, bringing the two worlds together, the spiritual world and this fleshly world, and you're praying in the Spirit. Say this with me. How I do life is how I'll do faith. If my faith isn't working, it goes back to how I do life. And he's bringing us some wonderful thoughts and putting them together so well to show us that the little tiny nuances of our life that we most of the time overlook are the very significant areas where we can connect to the Spirit of God on such a regular basis that the words that we speak, even at times when you don't know so, are connected to God and will bring power. Brother Hagin used to say, we miss the supernatural by looking for the spectacular. I would say we miss the small, little, tiny areas where the Spirit of God is leading, guiding, putting words in our mouth, giving us desires that need to be expressed, and we think they're just coincidences or I'm having a lucky day, and we look over these little things and they become the very building blocks for you to say at the time that's necessary to say something that's connected to God that brings power. A friend of mine was asked to go by the Holy Spirit into Sutherland's store, which is kind of like a tractor supply store. He said, Lord, why do you want me to go to Sutherland's? He said, well, I want you to go to the nail section. He said, Lord, I'm a rancher. I've got 5-gallon buckets of nails. I don't need any more nails. He said, just go to the nail section. So he went to the nail section, and here's this city slicker next to him, because, I mean, you know, he's got his cowboy boots on. I mean, he's a real cowboy, real rancher. And here's this city slicker standing there studying and trying to read a box of nails. And my friend's laughing because he's thinking pretty much you just get the right size and a nail is a nail. And you know a box of nails, because of the lead, it's heavy. And while he's turning it like this, he drops it, and he had shorts on, he had sandals on, and a shirt that had a little polo, you know, guy on a horse. That's how my friend would explain it, you know, some horse on a shirt. And he dropped it, and that box landed right next to his toe, but didn't hit his toe. And when he dropped it, he looked like this at my friend, and my friend looked at him, and then he looked back down at his toe, and he said, "Wow, that was lucky." And my friend said, "Well, maybe that was grace." And he said, "What?" He said, "Well, maybe that was God's grace." And he even had a chain with a crucifix on it, and he looked back and said, "You can't talk about God like that," and just stormed off and left the box of nails there. So my friend said, "Well, Lord, this went really well. What am I supposed to learn by this?" And the Holy Spirit said, "I just wanted you to see how often I am with people, helping them continually throughout their day, and they dismiss me as though I'm not present and not even there." The small little nuances that keep you connected in your life will then produce in your faith the result. Because if the faith doesn't work, it's got to go back to the reality that you've created for yourself, what you consider to be real, the perspective that you've gained from studying the Word, not studying the Word. And it's possible to study the Word and still have a perspective of reality that's antithetical to the Word. In other words, it's very easy to become good at speaking the Word, but not necessarily living the Word. And I love what, you know, Reverend Annie is doing, bringing these thoughts together. And I thought I'd go ahead and just give you a scripture for a moment, because this to me draws some of this as a summary. And it says over in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19 in the Amplified, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, length, height, and depth? So I'll stop right there for a second and then we'll go on. But have you noticed that in this conference, and it's not because we're so simplistic, but yet I actually revel in being simplistic. I don't want to be complicated. I want to be very simple, because simple works. Amen? Complicated is confusing. But have you noticed that everything that's being said is very, very simple and very, very basic? Like I'm waiting for some great revelation. No. You don't need some great revelation, because it's very possible you haven't done anything with the last 10 that you had. Knowledge beyond your last experience with knowledge will corrupt your relationship with God. What do you mean? Well, if you have a revelation but have done nothing with it, to get another one and then add another one and then add to it 10 more only corrupts your relationship. Well, what do you mean? Because then you're piling on knowledge, but you've never done anything with it. And the further you pile on knowledge, you'll forget when the last time was that you actually did something with it. And until you go back to where you were when you actually had it working and you got something else from God and get that working, you're going to actually go the wrong direction with more revelation. Because you deceive yourself. It's like the little boy that forgot where the lie was and where the truth was. Amen, somebody. In this Pentecostal Word of Faith Church, amen. Well, you can hear crickets right now. What I just heard her say is that because we've not perfected something that's so simple, which is connecting our tongue to our heart. I mean, Proverbs 16 tells us, add learning to your mouth. I have to read it. I butchered that, but let me read it the right way. It says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. What's he talking about right there? Connection. Yes, Brother Hagin would stop. Sometimes in the middle of a prophecy, people would clap, and then he'd have to stop and correct that. But he didn't finish the prophecy. So then as Annie said, we all know this, he'd say, well, I need to get my tongue hooked back up to the Holy Ghost. And I'd always kind of count to see how long it'd take him. Well, praise the Lord, glory. Well, there it is right there. It didn't take him very long at all. Why wouldn't it take him very long at all? Because someone may say, I don't know if I've ever had my tongue hooked up to the Holy Ghost at all. Well, see, this is one of the multi-tool benefits of praying in the Holy Ghost. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost unless your tongue's hooked up to the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak as the Holy Ghost gave them what? Utterance. Well, what is the utterance? That's, praise the Lord, the power. But your tongue's going to have to speak at the same time that the utterance comes. In order to have a divine connection. Now, we know this can work either way. Who do men say that I am? Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, what happened? He was speaking at the same time the utterance was there. And he spoke out something that came right from heaven. Jesus even said, flesh and blood did not give this to you. But my Father in heaven revealed that to you. And that's what he's going to build the church on. The revelation that's picked up in the heart of man, that's released out of their being, that brings power into the earth, that causes change. Woo! I'm holding myself back a little bit, somebody. We've got a whole church to ourselves that we could run in. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I mean, we might want to be just a little tiny bit Pentecostal right now. That's what it means when it says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. And yet, look how it can flip-flop. The next thing you know, Peter goes ahead and rebukes Jesus for saying he's going to the cross. And what did he do when he rebuked him? He picked up on a voice that was speaking and spoke the same thing that that voice was speaking and spoke what the devil just got through saying. So we can release things into the earth that'll manifest one way or the other. And I believe what God's trying to tell us here, as we look a little further in these scriptures, with the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, he's not giving us something new right now. He's asking us to bring ourselves to a place of depth, to a greater height, to a greater breadth, and a greater length of the same things that we've known that might have not necessarily been used properly, but we understood the technique. Because the next thing that he says is this. He goes on to declare that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being under the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. In other words, you become a manifestation of God. When God made us in his image and likeness, those two words mean manifestation and representation. We are a representation and a manifestation of God. When you learn how to connect your tongue to the Holy Ghost in everything you begin to do, you will be connected to the power all day long. One of the greatest ways to do this, John Lake said, the making of my ministry is praying in other tongues. And he walked in such great power that they literally transformed Spokane, Washington into the healthiest city in America. Hallelujah. I'm in Newtown, Connecticut, preaching, and all of a sudden, this guy just in the back row, an older gentleman, he was about 83 years of age. He just died recently at around 94. All of a sudden, he flops back. I'm not talking about there was any type of muscular tension there where it was just cut. No, flop back like dead. Gurgling in his throat, that death rattle. He lost his bowels. There was a nurse that jumps up. She runs over there. There's no breath. There's no pulse. There's no heartbeat. The guy died in the service. And half the crowd started looking at what was going on. Well, that bothered me. I didn't know what happened to him, but it bothered me that they were looking at him and weren't paying attention to something that I was saying that was important. So I said, stop. Hey. Everything's going to be just fine with that man. I said, give me your attention and listen to my words. I command life to come into that man right now. I didn't know what happened. All of a sudden, he goes, oh, and he came back like this and asked the lady that was there, the nurse, what's going on? And the paramedics had come. They were out in the foyer, and they took him out there, and they checked him over, and they said that he had the heart, a brand new heart, the heart of a strong young man. That afternoon, like George Washington, he went home and chopped down a cherry tree. The man was raised from the dead. But now let me give you the key to why he got up. Because I didn't know he was dead. If I knew he was dead, I'm sure I would have gone into my karate position and called on all the forces of the universe and asked everyone in the room to stretch their hands out as we made the situation bigger than God. Because I minimalized it by not knowing, it didn't have an upper hand. And because I pray in tongues all the time, my tongue was already connected to the Holy Ghost, and therefore when I said something, I didn't even know the effect of what it was going to do. It brought power, and the same thing even to this day continues to, day in and day out, surprise me when I'm saying things out of my mouth, and it literally happens. I'm just endeavoring to open my heart for more. Yes. A greater height, a greater depth, a greater length, and a greater breadth of the very thing that we've learned years ago. But possibly it was mere knowledge without experience. Or if there was, let's have more. Hallelujah. I mean, there's an unction.
Yes.
I can preach and pray and prophesy. Yeah, by the unction. Hallelujah. By the unction. Isn't that interesting how things just go together, Miss Robin? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. By the unction. Ha, ha, ha. So we're going to do something tonight, right now. No sense delaying it at all. We're just going to sit over here, and we're nothing any more than everyone's sitting here and everyone's sitting here. You know the interesting thing? Let me throw this little piece of meat out here while we're doing this. What you're going to see in the pulpits in the days ahead, mark my words, I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost, is a new humility coming back into the pulpits. Because the day of the big individual that lords over the people as a master to tell them what to do, to bring in the finances and keep their business and their organization going, that day is over. The Lord is wanting to use any and everybody that has a willing heart and a desire to bring him honor. And the Lord is changing things in the pulpit. I'm telling you right now. That's one of the reasons why I can hang out with these people, because not one of them cares whether or not they're used. They would rather pray for the one that is used. I'd give up my pulpit ministry to be Father, what was the father guy to the revivalist in New York? Father, was it Nash? Father Nash. He prayed. He'd go in there for weeks and pray. I give up the pulpit ministry to do that. Because at the end of the day, who really cares about whether people see you or not? If your heart really loves the Lord, all you really care about is that people are helped.
That's right.
You can't. I had one lady, she asked me, she said, how come you still have such passion after all these years? I said, well, I'm in the healing ministry, for crying out loud. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you glory in the ones that are healed, but then you sorrow in the ones that are not. I said, let me put it to you another way. I come face to face every single week with how good I am, which means I come face to face with failure. And I realize I need more of him, less of me. See, for the one that gets healed, you thank the Lord. For the one that doesn't get healed, you realize, Lord, what could I have done? How can I be better prepared? Literally, Lord, they came to me desiring to be healed. Shouldn't I have been able to release that healing into them? Did Jesus require of them to jump through hoops? Did he tell those that came to touch the hem of his garment? But you've got to quote, you know, the last three sermons that I've had. You've got to have earbuds, you know, to listen to the last 40 hours. Did he make any stipulations? Or did he just find that people that actually desired to actually want what he had, every single one of them was healed? But we want to jump them through hoops, take them through courses. And so when you really see it like it is, then you have to meet yourself in the midst of the failure and keep yourself before God for him to continue to redo you until you come out refined in his fire as someone that carries the anointing. So I'm no longer relying upon someone's faith as much as I'm going to put something on you, whether you like it or not. And if you don't want it, you're going to be healed anyhow. You'll have to give it back later. So you hang around that kind of mentality, and you really actually have to build yourself up instead of tear yourself down, because the ministry itself presents many opportunities for you to question yourself. So you build yourself up in the Lord. But the last thing you care about is whether you're used or not. I mean, I looked at Leanne. You got it? I don't got it. You got it? I don't got it. It's like Mikey. He'll eat it. Remember? So then I asked her, you want to go? I want to prefer. You want to go or me? No, you. She said, okay. If you do any meeting with Joe Morris, he's the hardest one in the world. You'll fight with him. Now, I'm going to do about 10 minutes here, and then I'll pass and give it over to Dr. Jim. Well, I just did 2 hours last night, Joe. It's your night. And then he'll go about 10 minutes. You got anything? No, I don't have anything. You know, and so I almost have to leave the building so that he just preaches the whole message. And Joe's someone, you know, I mean, whether you've been around him or not, I mean, he's seen Jesus about 10 or 15 times. I mean, the guy's seeing angels constantly. It's like, you know, and he never says half of what he gets. There'll be a meeting, you'll sense the presence of God come. Were there angels here? Well, yeah. Did you see them? Well, yeah. Well, Joe, tell me about him. I mean, it's just so humble, you know. The Lord is moving on people's hearts in this day. So what we're going to do, is it all right? I just kind of say it like this. We're going to just, as a bench, and you're on a bench. We're all got our bench. Amen. We're just going to start praying and flowing and interacting in the Holy Spirit. Corporate prayer. Flowing with one another. Now, corporate prayer is pretty easy. You just, you pray into each other as you pray into the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Well, we're not having soloists right now. This is the choir, right? And the choir director will direct one part of the choir to sing a little bit louder, and then another part to sing a little bit louder, and then he'll bring us all back down, you know, into a softer tones. So I tell people like this, you know, when you're praying collectively, unitedly, it doesn't mean you can't get excited and everything, but keep mindful of where everything is going. So we can let the Holy Ghost just help to guide us and lead us. What's the benefit of this? I'm telling you, it's a multi-purpose tool. Praying in other tongues is the most amazing thing in this side of the earth. I mean, it's awesome. It's the very thing that Jesus, when all those disciples were ready to just run now into their own ministries, Jesus said, wait. And they said, what? Wait. Why are we waiting? Well, don't go anywhere until you be filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to tell them. Like, they weren't standing there waiting to be told what to do. They'd already been working the miraculous. They were already setting people free. And when Jesus said, then go into all the world. Oh, okay. We're ready. He said, wait. And they had to stop. And then come back and say, what do you need? Well, you need the Holy Ghost. The very thing most people have gone without. And even in the Pentecostal world, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost are not connecting their hearts to the tongues. For over 30 years, I've been listening to myself speak. But don't you know what you say? That's my point. For 30 years, I've been listening to God give me utterance as I speak. I get more blessed than the people. You say, what do you mean? When your tongue's hooked up to the Holy Ghost, you don't know usually what's coming out. It's one of the most fascinating things that we can do. And God's wanting to bring us all, everyone, oh my goodness, there's no one excluded, everyone into the power of your words and your spiritual connection with God. You're going to start experiencing signs and wonders where you do what you do, how you do it. And most of the time in this last day, you will not even recognize all the amazing things that will happen just because you're filled with God. This is going to be a fascinating time, folks. Anything and everything you've ever heard about what's going on in the pulpit, you'll start to experience yourselves. That's our job. That's our job. Our job is to work ourselves out of a job. To get you so perfected in Christ, you go off and you do the work of God. And they say, well, no one's in the church. Well, there'll be a whole nother crew. Don't wait. Don't worry about it. Next week, we'll have a whole nother crew. And then teach them to know Jesus so well that they're experiencing God. And then they go out and do all kinds of amazing things. And then we have, you know, weekly, monthly testimony services where you go all night long with one testimony after another of the most amazing things that God does through you. To me, that's called church. That's what she's talking about. Connecting your tongue to the Holy Ghost. The significance of what's coming out of your mouth. Connected from your heart. Come on, let's get ourselves in a position to pray, if you don't mind playing a little bit. Amen. And we're going to just go ahead and just, I'll get a microphone for Miss Leanne. And we'll let her lead out. And we'll just follow. Praise the Lord. Amen. As long as I've been around Leanne, there's no one that I know more so, and yet there's so many that are just like her. Amen. We're not singling any of us out, but there's no one I know that more so will yield just like that to her tongue, to the Holy Ghost. And we've just learned to pray with each other. And so nothing that we're going to do is any more special than you. But for the next few moments, this is a prayer conference. We're going to place our desire. And for some of you, I don't know if I have that desire. I'm just being honest. That's all right. That's okay. You know why? Because if you'll give your heart to the Lord in faith, the Lord will give you the desire. And that scripture says he'll not only create the desire in you, but then he'll empower you with the ability to actually function in the desire. Do you know what that's called? Grace. That's grace. That scripture starts out with, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And if you're someone that grew up in a church of religion, tradition, and law, you think, well, there it is. I got to go back to work. But the rest of the scripture tells you what the work is on this side. What is it? It's believing in the work of the Holy Spirit within you, that he's empowering and creating so that you can walk in a desire and an ability that will bring to pass the will of God in the earth. And we're going to pray about that. We're going to put ourselves in a position right now, so far out there we can't get back, where we're willing for God to show us things, to reveal utterance to us, to give us unction on certain things that we haven't been able to have breakthrough in, to even put ourselves in a position where he'll tell us to do something we don't want to do. Amen. Amen. That's what it means to be uncomfortable, but you get comfortable being uncomfortable. Working with God. Is everybody doing okay tonight? Come on, the hour's ticking away, but we still got some time. Let's jump in prayer. And all of us, just get some things in the Holy Ghost. Miss Leanne, if you'd just take over, that'd be great.
Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Thank you, Lord.
We worship you, Lord. We step over in the Spirit.
We connect with you.
We connect with you.
Ha ha.
Oh, we worship you in spirit and truth. Oh, and we pray in an unknown tongue. Revelation flows, understanding comes. Oh, we see, we hear, we know, we follow. Only you we know. Oh, we worship you, Father. We worship you.
Yeah.
of the truth that's been spoken this night, where revelation flows. And as spirit beings, we operate in understanding.
Yes, we do.
And the truth of your word. Where the realm of glory becomes more real than ever before. The understanding of that realm. We've got this. Angel doors is sin grande, say today.
The thing that he prayed for, that we might be one.
Yes,
I in him and he in me.
Yes, each
and both of us together are in the Father.
Yes,
oh, he prayed this, that we would know that in the same way that the Father loves the Son, he also loves us.
Yes.
Oh, my. That the evidence might cause the world, compel them indeed to come and see and hear and find Jesus. Oh, smaste. Yes, yes, yes. Go with that. Mesa kostai. Oh, produdiste obronenaeris tanai adoris tanikakai.
There's a seat of
paristolstai. That's right, that's right. Make legs to blow. Make legs to blow. Erbe usta prevena apres in inizia.
Heaven's open.
So
Timing of the doors.
I'm telling you, he's mapped it out.
Yes, he has.
And he has the plan.
He has the plan.
And he's working his blueprint for the heart of man.
For the heart of man.
Oh, bringing in the sheaves.
Yes.
Reaping.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We're a part of that plan.
Yes.
Everyone in this room is a part of the master plan. Yes. So then. So many.
Señor Glose. It's God's grace. His grace.
Man, what's he showing you? What is he showing you? What are you seeing? Jesus said, I do nothing unless I see. I say nothing unless I hear. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? With the eye of the Spirit. What do you know? With the heart of the Lord. We see. We know, we hear, we follow, yes, we go. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you know? Hallelujah. One of you say out when you see. Speak that out. Revelation.
I'll sing for a second. The heavens are open. They're open wide. And the supernatural working of God is our normal inside. In Him we live. There's a moving of His glory. A moving of His glory. A moving in this day where the heavens are open wide and He's waiting for His people to say, oh, I see, I hear, I know the glory of the Lord, the power of God to the uttermost, walking me, living me. I see activity.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yeah, I owe you higher.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
right now. Consecrate yourself right now. Consecrate yourself right now. Hallelujah. This is a holy, it's a holy moment in God. This is a holy moment. Hallelujah. Something has shifted. Something has changed. Significant in the realm of the Spirit tonight. We were here. We were here. We were here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We consecrate ourselves once again to your purpose, your plan, your will. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ah, here we are. Use us. Make it personal. Here I am. Use me. Use my voice. Use my hands. Use me. Use me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Anybody else got anything before we? Nothing else? It's Leanne, Jerry, Kevin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time will tell. Time will tell. Even just was what was done or begun tonight. Hallelujah. And we got to be here. We got to be a part of it. We're just a part of the body of Christ. There are others just like us. Hallelujah. There are more that be with us than be with them. Amen. And the Spirit of God is moving on groups of people and on individuals all over the world to accomplish his purpose and his plan. He's putting the same things in the hearts of people. And even folks who are just praying in other tongues and they don't know what they're praying about yet, the same thing the Lord's emphasizing. He's putting it in on the lips of his people so that we can accomplish his will. And Jesus, Jesus will come. Oh, glory to God. He's waiting. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience for it. But we're in that time. We're in that time. Hallelujah.